this is taken care of, a lot of things will be. We don't have to pray about them as much in emergency. Let's take a look at our Bible. Have you ever heard, I know you have heard about David and Goliath. David and Goliath, you know, David was around 17, 18, 19, I'm not very sure. He walked into the camp, coming from his father's farm, and then Goliath was standing over there and was a dispatch rider. Am I right? He dispatched him. But have you ever read this in your Bible? 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. I'd like you to take a look at this. 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. Now please take a look at this. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servant, now, you know, was a small boy at that time, was not a soldier, came from backside of the bush, dispatched Goliath, now he's become professional soldier, commander-in-chief. Servant went with him, went down and fought against the Philistines, and David did what? A.K.A. Agbatide. He grew faint. How many of you have heard of this before? How many of you have read this in your Bible before? Thank you. You know, I just wonder why some things they say in the Bible, some things they don't say. Let's keep reading. Amazing. Then Ish-bi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. I mean, David was fighting, I mean, professional fighter. He never lost any war. And he just grew faint. And then, those guys with very eagle eye considered he was, and they went after him. Let's keep reading. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistines and killed him. Now, who was that guy? Look at the verse before. Ish-bi-Benob, one of the sons of the giant. He's a giant. Now, David is no longer that small boy. Now, professional soldier. He's tired. So this giant came up in his old age, growing older. Go back to verse 17. And then the men of David swore to him. Do you hear that? Olombo, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. We can no longer call you the strength of Israel like you did killing Goliath, but you have more value now. You are the lamp. A lamp casts light. One of the things you have to learn as you grow up, because we're not going to have all the strength that we need, and people will help us take care of things, but our value must be that we are, let's keep reading. And then that the remaining part of that passage start talking about how the other giants were dealt with. Now it happened afterward that there was again the battle with the Philistines at Gob, then Shibekiah, the Hushathite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Next verse. Now, again, there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elna, the son of Jare Horajim, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Next verse. Yet again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number. He also was born to the giant. Let's keep reading. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. Next one. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's read one more verse. 1 Chronicles 29. Let's look at David. Verse 26. Summarizing David's life. Does David, the son of Jesse, reign over all Israel? Now, can you look at next set of verses? And the period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And let's read this verse together, everybody. Can we read it together? So he died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place. I don't want to get to the verse right now. When David was about to die, he made a fundraising for the temple. And when he was raising the fund, what did I? He called all the leaders and elders of Israel. We're going to raise money to build this temple that God wants us to build. The Bible said he gave almost about 40 to 60% of the money. Imagine they are raising $100 million. And David put down from his own, all this over the year conquest, about 50 to 60 million. So the rest just gave the remaining. That's what we meant by the lamp of Israel. He had become so resourceful, so satisfied with life, that in the old age, he was blessed. And I don't think this was taking place when he killed Goliath. He was just mindful of conquest and conquest. But as he grew older, David began to tidy up his affairs. That's why Hezekiah told the Lord, I can't die now. You know, God said to Hezekiah, is he Hezekiah now? Put your house in order, for you will not leave. The guy said, I don't have enough house to put in order. That time was around either 30, it was about 43, there about 30. It was 25 when he became the king. He reigned for 29 years. That's how many? That's 54 years, right? Minus 15. 54 minus 15. What's that calculator? That. Thank you, sir. So it was 39 when the Lord said he should put his house in order. Nobody like putting the house in order. 39. Which house are you going to put together? So as we get older, like David did, we must learn to start putting. And if you just pass 40, you are near 40, start thinking of putting your house in order. I don't mean you are going to die now. I mean that your house is full of days, riches, and honor. So they called David, what? Lamp. Pastor, what are we talking about this morning? I'm talking about putting your life together materially, financially as you get older. Some things you could not do as you used to do. Are you hearing me? For instance, you just can't go and fat buru. Hello? I mean, you just can't, some things you just can't do. So whatever you have, you must be learning to handle them so that it will favor you in the old age. It's even more critical now because you are living longer. Can you imagine? They said David, full of days, old age, was 70. Now, actually, old age now was really, you know, I mean, I don't count myself old. But I don't count him old. Uncle doesn't look old. Yeah, he looks here, somebody here, but you look here. I don't think I've spent my life yet. I'm 60 now. I don't think so. I had the man of God say something years ago. He said somebody had problem when he was 60s, and he was saying maybe he should die. He said, now that I'm 60 or 60 something, it's not old at all. In fact, now there's a new classification that when you are 60, you are young old. When you are 70, 75, you are middle old. When you are 90, 85, 90, you are old, old. So, Dada Keto is around middle old now. Praise God. So, it's a middle age in old age. I mean, they're living to 1995 now. And the government is scared of that. You see the riot going on in France recently over pension. They said they should retire at 64. The French people love to enjoy their lives. He said, all of you are living older now. Who will pay for it? So they start fighting. They're fighting. The man finally push it through and say 64 now. And they're still fighting over it. That means as you live older, as you live kind of a thing, we must be able to handle our finances well and put our material. I don't mean you become, forget about the dream of becoming Dangote. You pass that. Pastor, miracles still happen. I believe. Praise God. I believe. But I'm just asking you to be able to, when we talk about really living a satisfied life, is in being able to get what you need and being able to help others. Plus extra for your wants. Do you get what I just said? That's it. Pastor, why do you include your want? Bible said the Lord is my shepherd. It is he has no need, has no want. And you know, a lot of times as you get older, some things you want. Am I right? Thank you. So let's spend some time today to talk about doing this. Whatever stage where you are right now, doesn't matter. It's just that, let's put this together. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, really, why did God put things like this in the Bible? Let's look at 24 verse 1. We'll look extra there. So let's look at Genesis 24 verse 1. Genesis 24 verse 1. We're going to read another verse about another old person. This is like a target for us. Just a minute. I'm trying to open something that's down here before I read that. Okay. Let me put it so that I won't. Good. Now, Abraham was old and what? Well advanced in age. And the Lord had blessed what? Abraham. Why did God put all this in the Bible? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. And let's use it as, take a look. Verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as what? As examples. And they were written not for themselves, but for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. So, as we look at these examples, God carefully, consciously chose all these stories in the Bible, not just for story's sake, not just for teaching's sake. He put them there so that we can use them as our North Stars. Are you hearing me? And we can program our life like that. God didn't give his Bible. That's why they call it prophetic scriptures. Why is it called prophetic? It speaks of your future. Yeah, it happened in time past, but it's an example that you can. And if there's anything I love about the Bible, that's it. That when I read it, I can actually see myself in that page, in that chapter, in that passage. Oh, many of us have had countless things happen because of David killing Goliath. We're not literally killing physical Goliath, but certain things are Goliath in our life. And the life of David, even inexperienced, gave us a lot of spiritual buoyancy to face them. So this morning, I want us to talk about how you can take your life to the place where, like this man, in the material things, in financial life. Because really, we need material things here. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So, I have a penchant for making things easier. Somebody said something I won't forget in my life. He said, simplicity is the ultimate of innovation. If you can make something simpler, more people will buy it. Complexity won't do the job. If I have to read and read and read to you something, it can be more difficult. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's look at certain things we can do. I put them in my finger form so you can help us. I find out that those who seem to put their lives together, no matter how small they are or how big they are, there's one common thing about them. There's one common thing. They don't just... I see that some of these people that it bothers me. Sorry, forgive me. If you did that this morning, forgive me. If you did that this morning. If you come out and say, please agree with me, my house rent is due next week and I don't have any money, I will agree with you, but I will also wonder about you. I'll wonder, why did you have to wait to next week for that to happen? There's something about those who are older that is expected of us is to be contemplative. Is to be able to look at things. And the Bible used the word to meditate. Anybody that wants to put his life financially, materially together, he must learn to withdraw and look at things. It's a mark of eldership, or as you are maturing, to come back, further back. Have you ever seen them jumping? Have you seen people jumping? What do they call it? This jump. High jump, thank you. I don't know which one to call it now. That's a long jump, that's a high jump. That's a high jump. You see, when it comes to high jump, what they do first is not to get down there and just lift themselves up. It won't go very well. They go back, go back, go back, calculate how much, and then they now run and get near it and just leap over it. But you just can't walk toward that thing and be like, oh, did they? Praise God. So one of the first things I noticed, and when I stumbled on it, it helped me so tremendously, to start meditating, to start looking things over. And they always associate what meditate with doing well, particularly materially. Let's take a look. Joshua 1 verse 8. You know the verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what I say. For then, by meditating, you will make your way, what? Prosperous. And then you will have, you could see that prosper and meditate go together there. Let's look at one more. Psalm 1 verse 2. Hallelujah. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates when? Look at next verse. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in the season, he shall not wither, and whatever he does. Somebody said, that's all in the Old Testament. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 in King James Version, verse 15. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that you're profiting, you're overreaching, you're overflowing may appear to all. You're cutting through. Now, please listen to this. I use that word, meditate, for my thumb. When it comes to my finances, if I want to take a grip upon my material financial life, no matter how much I'm earning, I must have what I call meditate. If you see this, it's my strongest finger, but it can't hold anything by itself. And something else, this finger can touch this, touch this, touch this, touch this. Can you notice that? So I believe that whatever you are going to do financially, other fingers, you must bring this one, meditate. If we meditate, some depth we will not enter. Pastor, what is to meditate? I like the word in Yoruba. It's asaro. That means wasa, waro. Tobasa, tobaro, can it come out well? Sounds like a woman cooking. They pick the things they put to put over there, then they stare and stare and stare and stare. Am I right, woman? I don't stare, I only warm. You know, microwave, warm it and eat it. I don't do those things. So that's the thing. And let me say it for those of us who are advanced here. Meditation is bringing hindsight and foresight to insight. I know that's a big grammar. But for those who are advanced over here, I give it to you like that. So you can do some study. What is meditation? It's hindsight plus foresight, insight. You are looking into that issue, and then you, from the back, what happened last time? How did it go last time with something like this? And then you look forward, foresight. Look at how did David kill Goliath. He entered there at the camp. He asked, What will they give the person that will kill Goliath? I'm not fighting in vain. He said, so. He stopped. That's inside, present. He looked back, hindsight. He killed the lion and the bear in time past. Then, hindsight plus insight, he took a leap forward to foresight that if I could do that and this guy has some reward, let's do that over here. Am I making some sense? One of my teachers said, majority of men don't think. And that's why they are in quiet desperation. In these days of social media, some people want to think for you. And you must learn as we get older to learn to meditate on your own, to see the hand of things, to see what had happened before, and to look closely, because image is not everything. The days we are living in, there's so much superficiality when it comes to our finances. There'll be all kinds of presentation to us. But as you have the money, you are always having a look. How can this further? You know, Paul was in prison. Look at what he said, Philippians 1. Out of meditation. Told Timothy something, but let's look at Philippians 1 first. Look at this verse. Verse 12. This must be like your resolution. Wow. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the what? For the furtherance, for the advancement of the good news. So you must always think like this, your life, that whatever happened, good, bad, and ugly, how can you use it to further the cause of good news in your life? What God is doing in your life, what God is doing with your life, God has planned that you will live the good news, the gospel of Jesus. So you must start learning to take that, and whatever happened, an agbalagba, to come binu, to come gari, to come what depressed, it's not agbal, to badum. Forgive me for using those words. Yesterday, it dawned on me that the word agbaya really has serious meaning. You know, he said agbaya. That means, you got that? Sorry for those who don't understand Yoruba. Huh? The elder will suffer. Professor can tell that. It's not even Yoruba, but so he knows what that. Yeah, agbaya. Praise God. So learning to take things and to work it out, to make things work out. Oh, he said, all things work together for our. It doesn't mean that they are good on themselves, but we work it. So that's what they call meditation. You look at it. How can I use this money? How can I, this is my state. How did I, this is my salary. How do I? And then you stop. And don't get mad at yourself and at your spouse or anything. Just look at how do we get our way through with this. It's like this. You got a hurdle. You back off, and 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 pull your energy. Sometimes that thing you're going to do that's 2 million, you have to back off, back off, back off, back off, back off, save the money. If you come here and you see the auto, the next thing you do is open loans app. And they will help you lift yourself up. But when you come down, they are waiting for you. I'm not against loan, but it's easier to get and hard to pay. And the bad thing about loan is that something will come up. Have you noticed that? Something will come up that just won't make it easier. Let me not go that way now. Something I want to see. How to make bank also be part of what comes up. Some people are very interesting. You know, they will tell banks, some of us, you know, we go and borrow money. It's better you borrow money and tell the bank what you're going to do with it so that all of us will carry the risk together. You don't understand me. You want to do business. Don't go and borrow a personal loan. And you know, tell bank, I want to borrow money. You want to do business. So at least they know it's business. Like one pastor and his wife, they came to see me. They were having hypertension. I said, what happened? Said, we borrow money from bank to do business. It didn't work out. I said, the banks will know that this is a business loan. And you should not bear it alone. Because profit here, and I'm a share and bear. So lost now, don't share in honey. They said, they're going to bring police. I said, let them bring police. He said, are you serious? I said, oh, yeah, what do you now? For business, not for yourself. And the guarantee is the business profit. Rabbi, you. And so he said, they come. I said, when they come, say, let's go to the police station. Don't start running away and go and hide behind your house. Then they carry you. They start calling pastor. She's going and said, business in your sister, and they care for say, my family, look at what you period. That's meditating on the depth. That's insight, insight, foresight. You know, that's what we should have as we grow older. Now, second one. See this finger? See this finger? As you get older, you want to rule your life, please direct your money. What do I say? Look at this finger. Direct your money. Don't keep money. Some of us, we think that we are really richer when we have money. You know, allow me. Money, 500,000. Oh, 500,000. Only different obligations. That distribute the money there. Distribute the money. Have you noticed something about God? That when rain falls, you hardly see the rain after 2 or 3 hours. Have you ever noticed that? You hardly see the rain, the water, after 2 or 3 hours. What happened? There are rivulets, land will be, there are rivers, there are small streams, and they all get distributed. Plant will take some, soil will take some. What we call flood is that water is too much, and then it destroys things. Many of us actually want money flood. But be careful. Ile ele losi, like that rich fool, he got so much, and he said to himself, he got so much harvest. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to build a bigger bank, lock it up. No longer directing it. So direct. Look here. Today, whatever I have, the moment money lands like this, I direct them off me. And I seem to have nothing left because I've taken care of things. In fact, even down to my giving, I saw that Paul said, you must put something aside to help to do things for God. So I put it aside. When I need, I go down there. I don't just say, I have 100,000. I just take it out. I don't spend like that. Directing your money. If you don't direct your money, somebody will direct it for you. The marketers, advertisers, so you know it's off your back. Praise God. Am I making some sense this morning? For instance, you know that food costs this amount of money. You just direct that money to pay for the food so that the next 1 month you are not worrying about that. Am I making some sense? You don't have to be rich. Ah, pastor, I need to call low your low to pay. Ah, ne runu kato no. Wala gone here. Any money, ta runu kato no. Injokon, abosi wala la. It is spelled corruption. Because when you don't want to think, you just want to have it. No. God may bless you like that, but at the same time, you should be able to direct your money. Am I making some sense? And those of us who are younger here, direct your money quite early. Have rivers and streams where you send the money to. Even in church, that's what we do. We send money there, we send money there. We just don't look at money. No, it's off. Distributed. And so when we have particular thing, that direction will go down there and take care of it. For instance, those of us who are running business over here now, you should be directing money to salaries account. You just can't wait till 27th and start looking for money and start getting mad at everybody. Am I making some sense here? In fact, when we were building church, we were still paying church staff, and they were wondering, pastor, some church pastors will say, we are building now, all you workers in church, everybody, you know, they know that, those old days. So one of the staff came and said, Reverend, how can you? I said, we've directed the money there. We will not spend God's money on you. Let me make you laugh. This is so sometimes so interesting. Years ago, when we were building this building, and there was a need that day that we had to pay for in church, and there was no money. So I said to God, Lord, I have this money for my children's school fees. I'm going to lend you. Pastor, can you say that? It's my children's school fees. He gave them to say, for your house, you are worse than infidel. Am I right? So I put the money there. It was in the morning, I think, so that I'm going to have to pay for something. Which I don't know what it is now. So I said, Lord, I'm lending this money. It's goofy, so I lent him. By the afternoon, somebody sent us money from Lagos. I remember the pastor and I sent us money from Lagos for the building. God was telling me, I really don't need your money. Praise God. He said, to send us money. I said, okay, right. Some people, they believe that if they're going to run ministry, they're going to run it with their lives. Their children won't eat, their family will lose. No. Praise God. Praise God. That simply means before you buy that car, meditate. So, Njekbu. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense? So, first, direct your money. This one. I love this one. It's the longest finger. Stretch your money. Stretch your money to do more, to go far. You see, if you're into business here, stretch your money for raw materials. Somebody told me, said, I put my savings in raw materials and things I need to do. One of the best things in life is to put things ahead and meet it there. You know, every time you plant seed, what are you doing? You are meeting a harvest ahead. I'm making some sense over here. So stretch. Stretch the use of money. Stretch the use of materials. Even what you wear, what you do, stretch, use them quite well. Are you hearing me? Some of you, you carry a big phone. You never stretch the use of that phone. If you see my phone, they look new, almost like new, but inside, it has been used up. A lot of things I do in church, I do on my phone. Just like that. Well, I'm stretching the use, I'm learning. So start trying to stretch the use of money. How far? Jesus pushed the 5 loaves to feed 5,000. Can you imagine that? He stretched it. Hallelujah. He stretched it. Jesus even told somebody, he said, look at parable. He said, if I give you money, you don't want to use the talent, put it in the bank. You get some interest for me. Did you get what Jesus said? He said, let's keep on stretching it. Even when you don't want to use it, put it in the bank. When I come back, I find some interest on it. I'm making some sense. Start stretching it. Start stretching money. And you know, somebody may have 5 loaves and can stretch it well. And somebody else will have abundance and they don't stretch the money. Hallelujah. The Lord will give you wisdom in this. I forgot a verse that somebody said, Pastor, remember this man, think. Say, Ori me, Onimar Bunabai. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. I want to give you this verse as a promise. Like Prof said, you must have a word for what you are doing. Consider what I say. Give me NKJV. Give me KJV. KJV, then we'll read Amplify. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you what? Understand in how many things? I want you to trust God that as soon as you begin to prayerfully meditate on this, something will open up in Jesus' name. I want you to believe that. Believe that there'll be answer there. Something God will show you. God, the Bible said, that's a wisdom for witty invention. Look, you don't know your capacity as a Christian. It's inside of you over there. I don't care how much you are collecting. So you don't say, so don't think like that. That's actually greed. You know what I just said? That's actually greed. Greed is saying, I never have enough. People have more than I do. And I know that's, Pastor, can't be greed, it's poverty. No, it's greed. You look at it, it's never been enough. That's why I love David. At whatever stage he prospered. In prison, he prospered. Because he will always think about it. See, 2 men appeared to him in the dream, with a dream. They said, we had a dream overnight. Joseph said, tell me. Can I say this to you? After 2 years, it was forgotten. Pharaoh had a dream. They sent for Joseph. Oh, I love this self-confidence in God. A prisoner, just change the uniform of prison and walk up to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, young man, I heard that you can tell the meaning of dream. I have this dream. You think you can? He said, Pharaoh, let me hear the dream and the Lord will give you a beautiful answer. Praise God. Have that kind of thing that the Lord will give me an answer here. The Lord will show me what to do over here. Are you hearing me, somebody here today? Look, at whatever the need, whatever that school fees or something, whatever the finishing your house, just pray. My dad told me, my daddy was not such a Christian, he was this Orthodox Christian. I said it on Friday. My father was building a house years ago, and he couldn't finish it. He went to his friend. I remember Uncle Adiatu. I can't forget his name. He's living in Porubi. Porubi is the port section of Abidjan, the Bonny Ivory Coast. And my father went to go and see him. He said, give me some money. And that one just told him off. He felt so bad. He came back crying. You know what he did? He said he went to that house that is not completed. He sat down and just started weeping, crying. Lord. He said, as he was crying, just thinking about, Lord, please. A man walked through the, not the door, there was no door there, you know, that through the entrance. And he said, who is the owner of this house? Oh, he said, I'm the one. He said, can I rent it? My father said, can't you see? You can't rent it. He said, no, I'll give you money to finish it. And then I will. My father said, would that be done, Lord? Would that be done? But I wish he had known more about today. Oh boy, my dad, I wish I had known more. One time he told me, he said, you know, we only walk in the light that we had. And we have better light. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. We have better light. So let us stretch. Meditate. Consider. The Lord will give you understanding. And then direct your money. Some things you need to write down. Some accounts you can dedicate. Do that. Put that over there. My wife, for instance, can lump money together. I don't know how. See, that's so fantastic. And then, see, remember that she put this one. Me, I don't lump. I divide. Even in my younger days, I had envelope at home for children's dress. I found that if you're not careful, you'll be lamenting, I don't buy any clothes. I don't buy any clothes. If you take some money out of your salary every month, put it aside for clothes, you buy more clothes. Pastor, I don't need the clothes. Thank you. Put the money somewhere else. Particularly as you get older now, family, people, relatives, am I right? They will call you. So put something aside for them. When they see you with a car, they think that you have all the money in the world. But put something aside. You just look there. If it's not enough for them, they will never refuse. I've never seen any of my relatives refusing. We need 100. Can you come? And I say, Mabi, no, I have 5,000. I'm uncle. They take it. They grab over, they thank me, they go. Now, this one is the wedding ring finger. If you want to really have happiness in your family, enjoy life with your family. You hear what I just said? What is the essence of gathering and walking if you cannot calmly enjoy, do things for your wife and children, and do things for your husband? I got a friend in Lagos. This was, I mean, when I heard it, I just, boom, you know. This lady, you know what she did? Her husband's birthday. You know what she did? She built a house for him. What? I want my dedicating houses by sisters for their husband's birthday. I'm available. Prof. Mrs. You know, I mean, my friend just woke up that day in the morning. The wife said, let's take me to your birthday. Take you to my birthday. Okay, sir, let's go. And then they put things there and they caught. He said, the house is for you. I believe that the essence of life is toward the end we are happy together. Hallelujah. The only regret I have in my life was that my wife suffered in my younger days. I was mean. Look, if you see, aye, you need to prepare. Jesus, you walk on. So everything is very soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's a Paris. And women love good things of life. So men do too. So let's bless our family. Let's not wait for bad day to do things. And then cry after she has gone. Like one guy said. He said, don't give me for my burial. Well, you can give me that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can do much more with it. So family, praise God. I'm learning and I see God blessing me more. Listen to this. When you yearn for your children, can I be honest with you? The days we are living in now is tougher for the younger folk. Can I be honest with you? You go to school in UK, you rent a house for over £1,000. Listen, that's £1,800 per month for house rent. And you put together, what are you going to do? You know that in America now, there is a problem now of housing accommodation. So California permitted that they should build a house within their compound. Small, small rooms, people can stay there. And second, the younger folk are moving home. They find out it pays off. Because when you are bigger and you are doing well, only two of you, nothing you are doing. Mommy is crying because he's tired. So this guy starts saying, let's go back home with our children. Instead of running around doing everything by yourself, mommy will be there to carry all the children to school. That's abroad now. You see all this bushfire that you burn America. You see, I've been there. I was in the house in UK. No, US. UK, because in UK, they are small, small like that. When you go to US, on this ranch, big, big house. I mean, you enter there and say, Kilele. So I went to one house. This was a special place in Texas, you know. And only two of them are home. I was one in New York City. The man told me, said, come for holiday. Come, house is here. Wow. Travel, you know, they want to invite you. They call us to come and eat, you know. I said, wow. My wife said he went to one house. He saw Toyota he never seen before in his life. He said, it's like this. You know, the children told my wife, because he's a friend, he said, please come around to your friend and come and help her enjoy life. Ah. So, what I'm saying in essence is this. Even the little you have, you don't have money to buy things for your wife, buy a flower. Maybe a cheap one, so you'll appreciate a hibiscus flower. And ladies, receive them too, in the name of the Lord. Just do something, just encourage. Okay, pastor, okay, flower won't do, credits will do. So women don't want flower. When they get older, they want flower anymore. Maybe flower. Hallelujah. Are we here? But just be happy with each other. Is that all right? This is important here. This is very important. This finger. Making them to really have the joy of living together. If you believe in a rented house, it doesn't matter. Just say that whatever you can do, make your family happy. Make your family happy. Children, when they are younger, when they are older, let's do things for them. So, back to it again. The younger children that are growing up, please be there for them. Finally, look at this finger. Look at this finger. Can you look at this finger? What do you use it for? Thank you. You do it over here, and you do it over here too. That means troubleshooting. Troubleshooting. Don't wait for things to get bad financially before you start checking it up. Troubleshooting. Sometimes God will wake you up. Sometimes something will remind you. Please don't just, all right, hallelujah. Am I worried? All along, am I weary? Are you weary? You're not weary. Yeah, while I was coming to church this morning, I saw something. I just saw something. While I was about to turn over there, and I'm going to see it now. I just saw it again now. Please, can I beg you? If you have parents here of adult children and you have had struggle with them, nothing is irredeemable. Let me tell you, one of the ways you can get happier as you get older is take your phone and call that guy and say, hello, how are you? Good morning. And he's not expecting your call. It's cold or she's cold. You say, I'm your dad. I know I've messed up, but we can get back together again. What's wrong with that? I saw that when I was turning on. I mean, nothing's irredeemable. Nothing. Praise God. Get into their face. And if you send us some money, they won't mind at all. If it's 5,000, daddy, kilo sele, bo, uncle, ah. So, troubleshooting in your life. Troubleshooting. Taking this finger, looking at things, maybe something's not yielding very well. Take a look, troubleshoot, read, learn, grow, get better in it. Am I making some sense this morning? God's going to bless you. but it may not come in the way you expect it. But if you meditate on it, if you direct it, and you stretch it, and love through it, and keep working at it, you're going to have some grip on our financial life and get better as we grow. Jesus, as I close, Jesus said, don't send them away. You can feed them. They said, how, Lord? We can't do this. The Lord said, what do you have? Lord, we have 5,000 men plus women, 15,000. He said, you got how much? He said, 5 loaves. He said, bring it. And you know what Jesus did? This is the beautiful thing. He never took that 5 loaves and said, let us pray and keep it. He started directing the 5 loaves to 12 hands. And he said, start going, start from there. And he started doing that. And as you are doing that, the thing was getting stretched. And before they know it now, they got everybody filled. And Jesus says, don't stop there. Carry all the leftover. And they got 12 baskets. I guess one for each apostle. Praise God. No. It can't be one for each apostle. That boy will collect a basket. That boy will get a basket too. Let's make him one of the apostles. Maybe Judah, maybe Peter will give him his own because he never really believed for it in the first place. Hallelujah. But amazingly, listen to this. That 5 loaves would not have come up if that boy didn't direct that bread to be kept. I can't imagine 5-year-old keeping bread for 3 days. He's the managing director. Can we get up on our feet? Hallelujah. Wherever you are right now, there's something we can do. I call all this, I have one word for all these three. It's called wisdom. All these five. That's just the word wisdom. Meditate, direct, stretch, love, and troubleshoot is wisdom. Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We will never have enough wisdom when it comes to living today. Can we lift our hands and say, Father, I pray for wisdom for where I am right now. I pray for wisdom to take care of my life more so that my path will keep on shining brighter. But I don't care where you are. The Lord can start with you. The Lord can work with you. The Lord does not think that you are beyond help. Even said the first are the last and the last are the first. So let's say, Father, thank you for financial wisdom. I want you to praise with earnest in your heart, Lord. Say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Maybe things are going well. Ask for wisdom to perpetuate and multiply it. Maybe things have not been going well. Ask for wisdom to stabilize these things. You see, Lord, I need your wisdom this morning. I pray for wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom. And I give you all the glory and all the praise this morning that I will handle my finances with your wisdom. Can we lay our hands on our head and I say, Lord, I receive your thoughts as I meditate. I receive understanding. I receive foresight, insight, hindsight, together to move things forward according to your plan for my life. You said your thought for me are not of evil, but of good to give me a future and a hope. I believe that, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a word when I was talking to husband here. Please, husband, take the lead here. Start looking at it. Start because your wife will really appreciate you taking the lead here. Not just, I've seen women that they have to just start looking for school fees at the odd hours because the man is not rising up. Hallelujah. Praise God. In fact, the word men in Hebrew means to rise up. Hallelujah. You can take your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Choir, okay, today's pastor's